scriptures today, there's an answer to the apostate days that we're living in today. And Paul was dealing with the answer that we need to know here, even writing to young Timothy, and so doing, writing also to us today, that we might have something to help us through these things that we're facing even today in our lives today. And so I believe that we're in chapter 3. We're in that time. We're there. We've approached that time, and we're there today. But we're to be ready to face the things that we see today. First of all, Paul said here in chapter 4, I want you to notice what he said here, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For this time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And Paul began to address that fact here in chapter 4, writing to Timothy and telling him and charging him what he needed to do in face of the apostates that he's going to be faced with. And we're here today. And so I believe that you notice, first of all, our responsibility today, what we're supposed to be doing today, first of all, is to receive the charge that God gives us. The Bible said there in verses 1 of chapter 4, "I charge thee." Receive the charge that God gives us in view of the things that's going on in our land today. And so we receive the charge. "I charge thee." My, what a responsibility that we have today to receive that charge. And I know he's writing to young Timothy here. He's charging this preacher that's going to be facing those things. And I believe today that he's charging his preachers across our land today. And God's given us a charge to preach the Word of God. And the charge is there. So we'd receive that charge. And with that charge comes a responsibility to look the devil in the eye and preach the Word of God. That's our responsibility. And then, so there's it's a very responsible thing that we're supposed to be doing, receiving that charge. Let God charge us. Let the Lord charge us from the Scriptures on that we need to be doing today. And then we find, secondly, that we need to make an oath. Amen. Do it before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, brother, it's a serious thing to be charged by God. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to be taken and just write it off as something not too important, but it's before God. Amen. There's an oath to be taken. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if there's an oath, and we do it in front of the judge. Hey, listen, we're going to be judged according to what we've done with the charge that we received from the Lord. And the Bible said, he said, "And who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing?" Listen, mister, we're going to face a judge one day. We're facing the judge of all the judges. We're facing a judge that will never be bought off. We're facing a judge that will not accept any excuses. And we're going to be facing the one that charged us with the Word of God. He sent the charge, and he's going to judge us on what we do with the charge in our life today. So there, we're gonna face the judge. And listen, he's going to look us in right in the eyeballs. Hey, we're going to be looking at him. He's going to be looking at us. And my friend, what we're doing with the charge that God has given us, we're giving account to God for it. And he'll judge us according to those things, our faithfulness, how we've been faithful to do what he charged us with doing. Boy, the responsibility is great in these last days. Listen, there's a lot of things going on in our land today. A lot of things are happening in our land today. But I'm telling you, brother, God has charged us because we've got a responsibility to face this world today and tell them what God says about the situation that we're in today. So we're going to face the judge. Yes, sir, we're going to face the judge of all men. God will judge us. He's going to bring the Word of God and be judged according to what God said in the precious Word of God. And so we're going to be in front of a judge. And you say, well, I don't like to stand in front of a judge. You're going to stand in front of this one. And my friend, every man's going to give an answer to God for the things we've done in this body, and whether good or bad, we're going to answer to God for it. And the charge that God's given us is to preach a Word of God. And so there's an oath to be taken before God. Amen. Before God. Serious matter on what we do with what God has told us to do. And then thirdly, I want you to notice what he says here in chapter 4. What he says thirdly, notice what he said to do. Verses 2, he said, preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. And that's what God tells us to do. Well, you see, folks don't like preaching. I know they don't like preaching, but God does. Amen. And God loves it so much, he sent Jesus down here to preach the gospel to a sinful world. And he loved it so much that he instituted a church, and that, my friend, and then called preachers and sent them to preach of the Word of God. And so we got a duty and to do that. We're to preach the Word. Hey, well, you say, when should I preach the Word? Well, there's two times that we ought to preach the Word of God. First of all, that's when it's in season. Amen. Everybody loves you. Everybody appreciates you. Everybody said amen to you. Everybody's following right along with you in the Word of God. They're agreeing with what you're saying to them. Boy, that's in season. Amen. That's when things are going real well. That's when we can look out in the congregation and, my friend, we see heads are nodding and folks are saying amen. Amen. Hands are being raised to say amen to what we're doing and the truth that we're preaching, and that's in season. Amen. And but I'm telling you, he said there's a second time that we're to preach a word also, and that's out of season. That's when nobody is following you. That's when nobody's agreeing with you. That's when nobody is saying amen. That's when there's no hands being lifted and there's nobody receiving what you're preaching, the divine word of God, and that's out of season, and that's when you don't feel like it, amen, and that's when you wish you could be somewhere else instead of preaching what you're having to preach for that message that day. And so there's an out of season time, and there's an in season time, and God said preach the word both times, in season and out of season, and that's right. And so what are we supposed to be preaching, preacher? First of all, the Bible said to reprove. We're to reprove. Oh, yeah. And the Bible said, listen, and you know what that word reprove means? It means to blame someone. It's to put blame upon someone. And you're reproving someone. You're blaming them for the things that's going on in their lives. And that they're pushing it off to somebody else. But God puts a blame right where it goes. He should reprove them. It means, listen, it means to censor them and hold them responsible for what they're doing that's wrong. It's not somebody else's fault what you're doing wrong today. It's what you're doing wrong because you chose to follow that pathway, and you chose to do that sin, and you chose to do that wrong, and it's your fault because of what you're doing today. And so it means, listen, and what the Lord said told Timothy to do here, he said you charge them to their face. Amen. And that's what the word reprove means. And to listen, it means to to charge them to their face, and brother, look them in the eyeball and tell them what they're doing wrong, when you know who it is and when you don't know who it is. It's all the same to God. And so there's that's preaching the Word of God, and that's very necessary in our time today that we're living in. And secondly, there's the word rebuke, and the word rebuke means to check or restrain. It means to check for the purpose of healing that person, and my friend, with their good things for them in mind, and there's a rebuking that we might bring them to the place that they can heal their sins and heal their land. And my friend, that's what that word means. It means to restrain. It means to calm. And in other words, get back to the place to where that we can enjoy the Word of God. And when we rebuke someone, it means, and in the words, what did what the Lord do when he looked out across the sea and got up out of the boat? He looked out there and rebuked the wind and it calmed it down, and it just sat down and calmed down. And that's what the Lord does when he rebukes us. He makes us calm and receiving what he says for us to do. And so that word rebuke is there. Well, you say that's two-thirds of preaching. Well, that's exactly right. And when two-thirds of preaching is reproving and rebuking, then of course the Bible says that thirdly, he said to exhort. And all that's what we like to do, and that's what the folks like for the preachers to do. It means to encourage. Amen. Preaching to encourage those that are listening. Hey, there's somebody out there that's got some needs in their life. And there's someone out there that's carrying a great burden. And my friend, they feel like they go no further, but there's some encouraging preaching that brings us to encouragement of the Lord. And so that word encourage, exhort means to encourage. He means to cheer someone up. Amen. To cheer them up. They've already been rebuked. They've already been reproved. And so he said, I tell you, it's time to encourage them and to cheer them up for the things of the Lord that they're supposed to be doing. To cheer them up. And then, of course, it means to advise them. Exhortation gives advice to those that are listening to the Word of God being preach, and there's advice being given. Thank God, that's the best counseling that you'll ever receive is from the divine Word of God being preached, addressing your problem, and bringing to you some advice that will help you face the things that you're facing today. And then also it means to excite. In exhorting, it means to excite, to get you excited about the things of God. And that's what Holy Ghost preaching will do. And there's some excitement to serve God. It means to give strength to. To give strength. Amen. We need some strength. Sometimes. And brother, sometimes the only strength we're going to get is from the Word of God. We try to encourage ourselves and we fall short. And we get somebody else's advice and it just don't meet the need. But when the Holy Ghost of God gives our pastor, gives the preacher a message for our souls and begins to encourage us along the way, brother, it gets us excited in the Lord because it's fulfilling a need that we have in our life, and we're able to meet the things that we're meeting and facing and with excitement because God is doing something in our lives. Amen. It means to give strength too. In other words, and what did he say there in Acts chapter 27? And the Bible said, exhort you to be of good cheer. Amen. And to cheer somebody up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so listen, and so there we receive the charge. And then we make an oath to God, take it before God. And then, of course, we preach the word. And there in the second verse, and then in verses 3, we perceive the times that we're living in. In verses 3, the Bible says, for the time will come. Listen, preachers, need to perceive the times that we're living in. I'm getting our head out of the sand and take the Word of God. Look at the things that's going on today, and we know we're living in the times that God said was going to come. And so that, he said, for the time will come. I mean, the time will come. What time's coming? Well, the time that's already got here, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. Why do you think the devil is fighting the Word of God like he is today? He watered it down. He's got multiplied dozens of translations that has changed the Word of God. And they changed the Scriptures. They took out verses. They took out chapters. And not them. They changed the words and different meanings. And then they're called in a Bible. It's not a Bible unless it says King James on the front of the Bible and the Word of God, and all the others are judged by this translation that God has given to us today and to make perfect and preserve the Word of God for this generation today. Amen. Well, the Bible said, listen, and there's got to be perception of the times. What is first the first thing they're doing? Then they're refusing the truth. They're refusing the truth. They're refusing the truth. The Bible said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is truth. And they're not receiving the truth today. They will not receive the sound doctrine. And so what are they doing? They're refusing the truth. Don't tell me. That's not for me. Don't quote me the scriptures. Don't preach to me. Don't tell me what to do from the Word of God. And so we're living in those days today. There's a refusal of the truth prevailing in our land today, even in America today. Amen. And so there's a refusing the truth. Secondly, they're feeding the flesh. Amen. They're feeding the flesh. The Bible said there in that verse, of course, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall be heaped on themselves. Their own lust. What are they doing? They're feeding the flesh. They're giving the flesh free rein to do what it wants to do. No restraint by the Word of God. No restraint from the Holy Ghost of God. No restraint in refusing the truth. And in refusing the truth, they're walking in their own lust. And they're doing what they want to do. They're living that they want to live. And they're accomplishing in their lives what they deem to be right, but it's not according to the precious Word of God. And we're in those days today. We're living in those days today. So there's that. He said, listen, they're feeding the flesh. And then thirdly, they're finding the apostates. They're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're finding those that will go along with their lifestyle and what they're doing. And they're finding those and heaping themselves together, teachers having itching ears because they're feeding the flesh. The flesh is being fed in so-called churches today across our land. And my friend, they're leaving the gospel out, leaving the Word of God out. It's a watered down and they're torn apart. And they don't even recognize the scriptures. And all they're doing is tickling ears, and they're refusing the truth, and they're feeding the flesh, and recognizing the apostates, and they get the kind of a man that they want to lead them, and refusing to hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Rejecting preachers. Preachers are not loved today, even in America. Amen? And so we're to perceive the time. We're living in those days. In verses 3 and 4, chapter 4, and the Bible said we're living in that, and we'll just notice some things about this. In other words, he said, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from their truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I'm telling you, listen, I've been preaching for all these years, and my friend, listen, I've been declaring the Word of God for all these years. Over 50 years. I've never seen it like it is today. But I'm telling you, my friend, preaching is not appreciated. And today, they're looking for somebody to feed the flesh. And then listen, they're not receiving the Word of God. And what are we supposed to do? And my friend, we're to keep on preaching the Word of God. Amen. We need to perceive the time. Recognize the time we're living in. And then there was something else here. We're to perform the necessary task. Even what are we doing these apostate times? Perform the necessary task we're supposed to be doing. We're not so supposed to be giving up. We're not supposed to be giving in. We're not supposed to be given over to the things of this world. But my friends, stay with the Bible. Stay with the scriptures. Stay with the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said here. We're to perform those tasks. What are we supposed to do? Look at verse 5. He said, watch thou in all things. We're to watch. Keep ourselves alert for the things that's taking place in front of us in the name of religion. Don't go along with it. Turn away from that. There's a form of godliness denying the power thereof. And the Bible plainly said in chapter 3, from such turn away. We're to turn away from that thing that's not truth. Amen. Perform those tasks. Watch. We're to watch. Be alert. Be aware. What's going on in your life? What's going on in your family's life? What's going on in your children's lives? Your grandchildren's lives? be a voice against the things that's taking place in our land today. Brother, believe me, you're not going to have to look far today to find something, somebody doing something wrong that you need to be speaking to about. Amen. And preaching the Word of God to. Well, you see, there's the form of the necessary task. First of all, watching. And then secondly, enduring. Endure affliction. The Bible said, look what he said in verse 5, endure afflictions. In other words, you're going to have to suffer for what you believe in. Somebody is going to ridicule you for what you believe in. And we're living today in the time when folks are actually losing jobs because somebody don't like what they believe and what they've said. We're living in those days, endure afflictions. We're living in those times. Then, of course, not only that, but he said, but we're to do. In verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. Go ahead and preach the gospel. Go ahead and tell them Jesus saves. Go ahead and tell them the Son of God still loves hell-bound sinners. Go ahead and tell them that they can even get right with God if they turn their heart to the Lord. Do the work of an evangelist. And preach the gospel. Don't give up. Don't give in. But don't give over to the things of this world. But preach the Word of God. Do the work of an evangelist. Witness to souls that are dying without God. Amen. Then he said, prove. What are we supposed to be doing, preacher? We're supposed to prove. Look what he said in the last part of that verse. Make full proof of thy ministry. Show them through the ministry that God has put you in that there's something to your life that matters. Prove to them that God has changed you. Prove to them that God is leading you. Prove to them that God has given you righteous living and a joy of God in your heart and soul. Prove, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. Prove the truth. Then we find not only that, but I want you to say, and then we can say as Paul says. Paul is writing something here that every preacher ought to hear. This is the way we ought to finish. The Bible said, for I am now ready to be offered. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul said, time for me to leave. He said, Timothy, I'm checking out of here. I'm checking out of here. Paul, what kind of condition are you in? Hey, you're checking out. You know you're going to die. You got a premonition. They've even said they're going to take your head from your shoulders. What do you feel like, Paul? Well, he said, I have fought a good fight. Paul looked him in the eye and he said, I've been in a good fight. A good fight for the cause of Christ is a good fight. For the gospel's sake. He said, I have fought a good fight. That's what we're supposed to be saying. Amen. As Paul said, it's a good fight. Then he was in a good race. Amen. He said, I finished my course. Amen. There time come when you're going to fold it up, Paul. Time just about here, Timothy. I'm just about ready to be offered. I mean, the time of my departure is at hand. I've been in a good fight. Amen. And Paul said there in that verse, I've been in a good race. I've finished my course. Amen. I'm passing the finish line. Amen. Paul said, hallelujah, I'm facing the finish line. And then he said, I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. I stayed true to this Bible. I stayed true to this Word of God. I stayed true to the Scriptures. And Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. So you see, there's that. And then listen, sixthly, we can expect the appropriate rewards. We can expect the rewards that God has given. Verse 8 said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Expect the appropriate results when you get to heaven. We're going to get to stand before the Lord one day. And Paul is going to stand before God expecting the appropriate results of what he's lived in this life. You live for God. You stay with God. You stay true to the Word of God. You lift up the Scriptures. You witness to sinners. You live righteously and you live godly in Christ Jesus. You suffer your persecution. You've been ridiculed in this world, but there's coming a day you will be rewarded for those things that you've stood for in this life. You'll be rewarded there. They're not going to clap their hands here for you. They're going to put you on a throne here. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be standing there before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get to rule and reign with Him. Been faithful to Him. Amen. Expect the rewards that God's going to give. Then lastly, deal with the unexpected disappointments. Hey, you say, preacher, what do you mean? You mean if you live all these things and you preach the Word of God and you live for the Lord and you face the apostates of our days and you lift up the bloodstained banner? You mean you're going to have some disappointments? Well, look what Paul did here in verse 11. Verse 10, for Demas had forsaken me. He was forsaken by those that once walked with him. Amen. Somebody walked away from Paul. You've got to face those unexpected disappointments. Because everybody that you know is not going to stay with you. Amen. Listen, Demas had forsaken me. What'd you walk away for, Demas? He loved the present world. How many of you know like that? How many of you know laid their Bible down, laid their standards down, walked away into this world? Love this present world. Expect those unexpected disappointments that's going to come. He said, for Demas had forsaken me, heavenly, and has departed to Thessalonica. Croesus has gone to Galatia. Titus gone to Dalmatia. And even though they didn't walk away because of the world, they walked away because of service. They were separated because of service, trying to reach souls. And sometimes if friends walk away from you, that's a disappointment to you. He said, only Luke is with me. Only the physician was there with him. So there were some disappointments. And take Mark, he said, bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. And Titus have I sent to Ephesus. And Paul is dealing with the disappointment of the journey. It's always disappointing when folks walk away from you. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus when thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments. He said, bring especially the Word of God. Somehow or another, the parchment got left there. Paul said, when you come, bring it with you. Bring it with you. So deal with disappointments. Even name one of his disappointments here. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Somebody's going to rise against you in your Christian walk with God. And he's telling Timothy here, he said, you can rest assured there's going to be some Alexander the coppersmiths in your life. The Lord reward him according to his words. Of whom wilt thou wear also, if we had greatly withstood our words. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, may it not be laid to their charge. You notice in Paul's life, he didn't hold a grudge. He didn't hold a grudge. He said, Lord, don't let it be laid to the charge. Don't let them be responsible for what they've done. Because Paul knew, as we know a lot of times today, that men do things because they've been led by someone else, because they've been directed someone else. They, in a moment of weakness, they fell from their faithfulness and they've done things that they would not normally do. He said, don't let to their charge. So Paul had a view that we're going to have today, and we're going to face this situation we're in today. And brother, listen, and so we can deal with the unexpected disappointments